Tonight I would like to read from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, just verse 1. And it came to pass, as he was in a certain place praying, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John also taught his disciples. Our Lord was praying in a certain place. And after he finished praying, one of the disciples, in a sense representing all the disciples, asked the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. Evidently, when our Lord was praying, his disciples sensed something that his prayer was very different from the prayer that they knew or they heard before, or they were taught before. Otherwise, they would not ask such a question. The Lord was praying. And while he prayed so differently from the scribes and the Pharisees. He even prayed very differently from John the Baptist, because most of the disciples were disciples of John the Baptist before. And evidently, John the Baptist taught them how to pray before. But the Lord's prayer, his praying, was very, very different. And it made a deep impression upon these disciples to make them feel that they did not know how to pray and what to pray for. And I think the first lesson we must learn in prayer is this lesson of we do not know how to pray. You know, sometimes we think that we know how to pray. We have been taught before, even before we were saved. And after we are saved, we have been praying all these years, both privately and together. And somehow it developed a kind of confidence that we know how to pray. But if we should listen to the Lord praying, I believe the first reaction to us will be, we have never prayed before. We do not know how to pray. We have to ask the Lord to teach us to pray. You know, sometimes we think that our problem is we do not know how to pray. And because we do not know how to pray, we dare not pray. But actually, the problem is just the opposite. The problem really is we know how to pray, and therefore our prayer is so ineffective. If we realize that we do not know how to pray, then the Lord will teach us how. And then our prayer will be real prayer. I think most brothers and sisters do not pray is because they feel that they do not know how to pray. Now, I think you need to thank the Lord that you do not know how to pray. Because if you know that you do not know how to pray, then you are hopeful. The Lord will teach you. But on the contrary, if you think you know how to pray, then you are finished. The Lord will let you pray your prayer, but He is not able to teach you how to pray. I think the reason why we do not realize how insufficient we are, how weak we are, when we come to this matter of prayer is because we have not heard the Lord pray. Not only the contents of his prayer are different, the very spirit of his prayer is different. Everything is different. It's different from ours. And we have to come to him and say, Lord, teach us to pray. So I think the first thing that we need to learn is, number one, we need to confess that we do not know how to pray. It must be a deep confession. And number two, yet we want to pray. Now, if we confess that we do not know how to pray, and then we do not want to pray, then of course the Lord will not be able to teach us to pray. So secondly, we must want to pray. I'm afraid when we come together to pray, many have already decided that they will not pray. They do not want to pray. And if you do not want to pray, you will not pray. For the Lord will not teach you to pray. So, secondly, every one of us must have the desire to pray. Now, that's the reason why the disciple asked the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray, because we want to pray. And yet we don't know how. So this desire must be within us. Every one of us must want to pray. And then thirdly, we will ask the Lord to teach us to pray. That is to say, we will look away from ourselves and look to the Lord. Open our heart to him. Open our spirit to him. And say, Lord, we are here. We are willing. We want to pray, but we don't know how. Please teach us. And if you have this 1, 2, and 3, what you will get, you'll find the Lord say to them when you pray. In other words, the Lord taught us how to pray. So I feel that as a beginning, we really need to come to the Lord to confess to him that we do not know how to pray. You remember the story about the Pharisees and the publican. The Pharisees came to the temple, and he surely knew how to pray. He thought he did. And he prayed a long prayer. A very complete prayer. But the publican did not know how to pray. Where to begin? And he just cried out from his heart, Lord, be merciful to me. Allow me to be atoned. And the Lord said, when that publican returned home, he was more righteous than the Pharisees. So I do hope that we do not come together with a sense of confidence in ourselves. Rather, we come together knowing our weakness And if we know our weakness, then in Romans chapter 8, we are told the Holy Spirit will come to our aid. He will help us in our weakness. And He will make intercession for us, in us and for us, and according to God's will. And the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. So I do encourage brothers and sisters tonight that you are not knowing how to pray will not inhibit you to pray. Rather, it should encourage you to pray. The only thing you need to do is just keep yourself open to the Lord. Keep your heart and your spirit open to the Lord. And if any subject for prayer is mentioned, you just ask the Lord whether He wants you to pray. And if you feel that He does want you to pray, then you just trust the Holy Spirit to give you the right word to pray. And you will find that it will become very easy and very natural. So this is the first lesson I hope we all will learn.
Message 2 follows shortly.
Please turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through verse 38. And Jesus went round all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the glad tidings of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every bodily weakness. But when He saw the crowds, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were harassed and cast away as sheep not having a shepherd. Then said He to His disciples, "The harvest is great, and the workmen are few. Supplicate, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He send forth workmen unto His harvest." Our Lord went around the cities and villages, teaching, preaching, and healing. And while He was doing that, He saw the crowds, and He was moved with compassion. In other words, our Lord, when He saw the crowds, He saw them as sheep without having a shepherd. She had a vision. He had a vision. The Lord saw a vision. He visualized the crowds as sheep without a shepherd. And because He had such a vision, He was deeply burdened. He was moved with compassion, deeply burdened. And being deeply burdened, He shared His vision and burden with His disciples. He said, "The harvest is great, and the workmen are few." And after He shared His vision and burden with His disciples, He asked them to pray, to supplicate the Lord of the harvest that He send forth workmen unto His harvest. You know, in the matter of prayer, really the first problem is seeing. If we see as the Lord sees, if we have a vision that the Lord shows us, that will constitute a burden in us. And then, when there is a burden, the only way to discharge that burden is through prayer. Now, oftentimes, when we pray, either individually or together, we think that because we have no burden, therefore we cannot pray. Now, it is true. A prayer without a burden is not a real prayer. Now, that is true. We must pray with burden. But if we say because we have no burden, therefore we cannot pray, something is wrong. Why do we not have burden? Why are we not burdened? I think there are several reasons. Number one is, we do not see. The disciples were with the Lord Jesus. The disciples saw the crowds, but they had no vision. They saw the crowds, but they did not see the crowds as sheep without a shepherd. In other words, they saw the crowds outwardly, but inwardly, they couldn't see the need. And because they couldn't see the need, they didn't have the vision. Therefore, they were not burdened. The Lord was burdened. He was moved with compassion, but the disciples were not. And the Lord had to share that burden and vision with them in order to get them to pray. So I think one reason why sometimes we do not feel burdened is because we are not alert. We are not sensitive spiritually. We are dull. If our spirit is really open to the Lord, then you'll find that it's very easy to see what the Lord sees and be burdened with His burden. And secondly, sometimes we feel we are not burdened is because we are overburdened with our own problems and needs. Now, when we are fully occupied with ourselves, with our own needs, with our own problems, with the problems of our immediate family, we find that we have no strength to take up more burden. And this can be another reason why we feel we have no burden. I think the problem is, when we come together to pray, or any time, when we really want to enter into this matter of intercession, the first thing, of course, is we have to have our spirit open. We have to be alert, sensitive, in our spirit, so that the Lord may be able to share with us His burden and impress upon us the need that He sees. And number two, when we really come together to pray, we need to have our own burdens set aside, at least temporarily. In other words,
We do not come here, everyone burdened, overburdened already with his or her own burdens. But as we come here, we should come without any loads upon our spirit. It is true, we have our problems, we have our burdens, these are all true. But still, in another sense, because we want to enter into this matter of intercession, we have to lay aside our personal loads, temporarily, forget about our own needs, our own problems, our own burdens, so that we may come with such openness and such emptiness, we are able to receive burden, take on burden for the Lord. You know, in prayer, we need to have burden. But burden is not something that you wait until the burden seems to come upon you. Now, probably that is a problem among God's people. You know, when we come together, we just wait. And the reason why we wait is because we feel we have no burden. So we wait until the burden comes and then we pray. Now, in one sense, that's true. You cannot pray without burden. But burden is not something that you wait passively until it falls upon you. Burden is something that you have to take up actively. So I think the secret of prayer is that we know how to take up burden. That is the secret. It is something that you need to take up voluntarily, actively, not waiting for it to come upon you passively, involuntarily, but you have to take up actively. So here you'll find when the Lord shared his vision and burden with his disciples, he commanded them to pray. In other words, the Lord expected them to take up his vision and his burden and turn them into prayer. And evidently they prayed. And the more they prayed, the more they are burdened. Maybe in the beginning they are just taking up the Lord's burden. They don't have burden. They just take up the Lord's burden. But as they started to pray, the burden increased upon them. And they really prayed with burden. How do we know? Because in chapter 10, you'll find the Lord called to him the 12 disciples, give them power over unclean spirits so that they should cast them out and heal every disease, every bodily weakness, and the Lord sent them out. In other words, their prayers were answered. They prayed that the Lord of the harvest would send forth workmen, and now the Lord sent them forth. Prayer answered. So I feel that sometimes, you know, when we come together, some matters are being mentioned for prayer. And probably some of us will feel, well, I don't feel burdened about these matters. Why? Because I'm burdened with other matters. If the other matters are mentioned, I'll pray. But these matters, I'm not burdened with. Therefore, I cannot pray. Now, in your personal prayer, this may be true. But in corporate prayer, you cannot go on that rule. In corporate prayer, as a matter of fact, every one of us may lay aside his or her burden, own burden. You do not come here to pray your own burden. No. You should lay it aside. You come here with openness and emptiness, ready to receive burden, to take up burdens. And only that we can pray corporately. So when the items, subjects are mentioned, be open and learn to take up actively. And I do believe that if you start to take it up, you will be burdened. So, we have a problem here. I wonder if you noticed. When we come to pray for a certain one who is sick or who has some difficulties, and we know them very well, it seems that lots of brothers and sisters will pray. But when we mention something about the Lord's work or His interests, somehow we shut up. Because we feel we are not burdened. Now, is it because we are limited by our emotions? Must be we be emotionally involved in order to get a burden? Or can we pray above our emotion and learn to take up the Lord's burden until we find ourselves really burdened? So I think this is something that we should learn. We all should learn how to take up burden. And this is not something that we will learn instantaneously. I will suggest that this is something that we have to learn in our daily lives. You know, in our daily lives, when you see something, when you hear something, or when you read about something, try to take it up as a burden and turn it to prayer. Suppose you meet someone and after that someone has left, he may share something with you. Now learn to turn this encounter into prayer. Take him to the Lord in prayer. Or maybe you're reading the newspaper and you find in the newspaper some news. Not just reading the newspaper, take it up and turn it into prayer. Maybe just a sentence or two sentences. And if we are watchful and alert in our daily lives, turning things into prayer, learning to take up burdens and convert them into prayers, then I think you learn the secret of taking up burdens. Then when we come together and when certain things are mentioned, it will not be hard for you to enter into prayer for these things. Now, of course, we need a certain amount of knowledge in order to pray intelligently. So it is always good when certain things is mentioned in the church, it should be explained very briefly. In other words, give enough information so that all the brothers and sisters can really enter in. Now, sometimes, you know, some person's name is mentioned or certain things mentioned, and some of you may be familiar with, but the rest, they know nothing about. And if you know nothing about it, prayer and individual burden. So, it is good when something is mentioned, give a very brief information so that we may understand and we may learn to take up that burden. So, this evening, this is what I feel we all should learn. Learn to take up burden. We want all the brothers and sisters to pray. As we mentioned last time, if you do not know how to pray, then you can pray. If you know how to pray, then probably you shouldn't pray. You know, so let's come with such openness and just open ourselves. And when the things are mentioned for prayer, let us look to the Lord and take up what burden He wants us to take up and pray. You know, a sentence, two sentences, or if you feel you like to pray more, fine. You know, it is not in the words, whether they are many or few. You know, the Lord knows. So just pray as the Lord enables you. So let's all look to the Lord for His enabling tonight.
Message number 3 follows shortly.
Will you please turn to Matthew chapter 18? Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on the earth concerning any matter, whatsoever it may be that they shall ask, it shall come to them from my Father who is in the heavens. Here we find our Lord Jesus saying to us, if two of us shall agree on the earth touching any matter, whatsoever it may be, that we shall ask, it shall come to us from our Father who is in the heavens. No doubt this verse applies to a corporate prayer. Because here we find the Lord said, if two of you, and we know that two is the smallest of plurality. It may be two, it may be 20, it may be 200, it may be 2,000 or more. But anyway, you'll find here, it is not just one person praying. It is more than one person. Two or more are praying together. In order that such corporate prayer may be effective, there is a basic requirement. As a matter of fact, you find what the Lord mentions in this verse is of unlimited scope, because He said, touching any matter, whatsoever ye may ask. So there is no limit to the subject matter. It includes everything. We can pray for everything, anything. And the promise is very inclusive. Your Father in heaven, His Father and our Father in heaven will answer us. But there is one condition. And that condition is agree. You see, when we come together to pray, it is different from our private personal prayer. There is an added dimension to it. There must not only be that agreement between you and the Lord, but there must be also that agreement between you and your brothers and sisters. If two of you shall agree. Now, how can we agree? As a matter of fact, no two persons can agree on anything.
I'm not sure I can agree with that.
In the final analysis, I think if we really think through, you will find that it is true. No person can really agree because everyone has his or her own self. And as long as that self is there, you want people to agree with you. But it is difficult for you to agree with the other person. We may come to an agreement by negotiation, by compromise, but this is not what the Lord is talking about. When He says, if two of you shall agree, the agree there in the original means symphonize, just like in an orchestra. You find that in an orchestra there are many instruments and various instruments. It is not uniformity, but all kinds of instruments, and all these instruments have their specific tone. They are all different. And yet, all these instruments, as they are being played, they symphonize together. There is no jarring note. There is no discordant sound. But you'll find that all these sounds blend together into one. And this is the word used here, agree. Symphonized. Completely blend into one. Not in the sense that everybody is repeating the same thing. You know, that will be vain repetitions. We may be praying, some pray in one with one approach or emphasis, and the other may pray for the same thing but in another area. But you find that it is not being uniform, but synchronized. Everybody can pray as the Lord leads, and yet all the prayers just merge together into one. Now, how can it be possible? It is possible in an orchestra because there is a conductor there. And everybody has to lay down himself and follow the conductor. Or to put it another way, everyone must agree with the conductor. You are not to agree with your next person, but you have to agree with the conductor. Everyone's eyes is upon the conductor. And it is through the conductor that you find all these players and all these musical instruments can play together in perfect harmony, symphonize together. So this is the secret of corporate prayer. We have a conductor, our Lord Jesus, through His Holy Spirit. We do believe that when we come together to pray, He is here. Because in the next verse it said, "For where two or three are gathered together, in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So we are just like in an orchestra. We are all sitting here, everyone with a different instrument, and we will be playing according to what the Lord has enabled us. They will all be different. And yet, if we open ourselves, set our mind, our heart upon the Lord, everyone lay down himself or herself. Not what we like, I like, you like, not what is my opinion or your opinion, your prejudice or my prejudice, your inclination, my inclination, your choice, my choice. We lay down ourselves and just agree with the Lord. The Lord does not require us that I should agree with you or you should agree with me. Because even if we try to, it will not be real. All that the Lord requires is that everyone will agree with Him. And if everyone will agree with Him, and we all look to Him, and let Him direct us, and we play as He directs. Sometimes, all the musical instruments are playing. At other times, some instruments are playing, some others are waiting. Nevertheless, you'll find it is all under the direction of the conductor. And it will come out into a beautiful music. So this is the way that the Lord wants us to pray together. Corporate prayer is not cheap at all. It is costly. Because in corporate prayer, you just cannot pray as you want to, or you do not pray as you don't want to. But everybody must be ready and open, waiting for the conductor to direct us. And we play according to the Spirit of God that is within us. And as we pray together and we all agree with Him, we want His will to be done. We want His mind to come through. We lay down ourselves and just open to the Holy Spirit. And in this way, you will find that all our prayers will symphonize together. And in such agreement, there is power there. You remember in the book of Acts, the 120 people, they waited upon the Lord, praying together with one accord. There were 120 people. And 120 people have 120 ideas and opinions. But they were able to pray with one accord. Why? Because everyone was tuning with the Lord. And then again you'll find later on how the whole church prayed with one voice. One sound. And even the place shook. And the Lord gave them boldness to witness for Him. So, there is tremendous power in corporate prayer. If only we know how. And the basic requirement is agree. So, as we pray tonight, first of all, let us just lay down ourselves. Do not decide whether you will pray or not, but be ready and open. And if any matter is mentioned, do not immediately draw a conclusion as what it should be or how it should be prayed. But be open and wait upon the Lord. And as the Lord moves upon our spirit, then we pray accordingly. And I do believe that if we are all open to the Lord in this way, you will find that our prayers will be symphonized together. And it will be with one accord. And this is the way that the Lord will answer our prayer. So, just remember.